So most people, when you hear the name Barbara Boxer, you know that she's a senator, but you may not know, also the chair of the Environment and Public Works Committee, but she's also a novelist. Her new thriller, Blind Trust, is in the books now. She's here with us today to talk about it. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning to you.
You know, the first question that I have to ask is, why open yourself up? why write fiction? So many legislators write nonfiction books. They read like a history paper in high school or college. But you've written something which can be critically reviewed. It will probably be critically reviewed, criticized, praised. Why do that to yourself?
I like to write. It's just what I like to do. I have colleagues who like to golf and some like to paint. My colleague, Senator Feinstein, does beautiful artwork. I like to write. And, you know, I think my constituents at home know that that you have to elect a person who has maybe some varied skills and talents. And I used to write a column for a weekly paper. I've also written nonfiction, but I love to write fiction. I teamed up with a partner on this one and the one before, and it is funny to see the critics. I sort of laugh about it, but to me it's great fun, and I can do things, I could say things in fiction that I couldn't say in nonfiction.
Well, you know, the main character in this book is also happens to be a female senator.
Yes, she is.
She gets accused of ethics violations. Mm-hmm. Were you worried that people were going to connect her to you?
Well, Ellen Fisher is my idol, the way she handles her life, and I aspire to be like her. She, of course, what happens to her, she's in the pinnacle of her power, and she's about to investigate surveillance and other things that are happening from the administration, and she becomes a target of the right wing, so they make up all sorts of things about her. They go after her staff. And I wanted my readers to really see, you know, how much is on the line here when you begin to gain power. So it's very cathartic for me to write fiction.
So let's actually talk about what's on the line for you in your position of power, because we've been talking a lot on the global stage about climate change, and obviously you are the chair of the Environment and Public Works Committee. There's this Kerry bill on the table there. So what is your strategy for actually getting your 60 votes to get this passed?
I have a very good strategy. It's called One Day at a Time. And the next step is to get it out of my committee. And that's where I'm totally focused. John Kerry, who's been a wonderful partner in all of this, he's not on the committee. So his strategy right now is to work to get support off the committee. So yesterday he had a op-ed piece run in the it ran in the New York Times with Lindsey Graham, which is the first Republican to actually come out and say, yes, I want to work on this. That was a big breakthrough. So the strategy is to build our coalition stronger and stronger. We have worked with the faith groups because the faith groups are looking at this global warming situation and saying, you know, if we care about God's green earth, we have to speak out. And they are really coming forward in numbers. We're very pleased to add them. We have, you know, people who are working on natural gas. They see that, you know, they have a product that has half the carbon emissions. So we're building some very interesting coalitions, and that's the strategy.
Well, you're certainly, no one would argue that you're one of the progressive Democrats in the Senate, and if we're talking about the whole Democratic caucus.
And very proud of it.
And very proud of it, sure. Yes. But does that put you on the front line in 2010? Are you vulnerable from
sure.
the criticism?
Yeah, well, sure. Explain. I'm vulnerable every single time I run. And my right-wing friends always say, Barbara Boxer, are we going to just knock her off? And so I'm running for my 11th election, and I hope to win it. But of course I'm on the line, but that's who I am, and I expect that.
Is former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorini, who might be your challenger, a right-wing extremist?
Well, she's totally anti-choice. She wants to drill off the coast of California. So she has a lot of positions that don't mesh with the people of my state. But beyond that, she's someone who didn't vote in 75% of the elections since she moved to California. So there's other issues. And, you know, my view is these are very tough times. And who do you really want in the Senate? Somebody who's going to stand up and fight, who's always done that from day one, or someone who's untested, who didn't even vote in most of the elections. And so it's going to be a very intriguing race, expensive race.
I have to ask you, because although you and Senator Kerry have kind of shied away from using the phrase cap and trade, but the cap and trade idea where it's almost like buying an indulgence from the Catholic Church. You have a wealthy corporation that's going to pay a lot of money so that they can continue with their practices when somebody else gets cleaner. That seems to a lot of environmentalists like a bad deal for the environment. But even that, we're having trouble, you're having trouble getting through the Republicans in the Senate. And if you can't even get cap and trade through, how are you going to get any kind of meaningful environmental change coming out of Congress?
Well, first of all, the cap and trade, which we call it pollution reduction and investment.
Way more snappy.
Well, cap and trade sounds like a baseball term. You put a cap on a player and you trade him. Most people don't get it. You do. Bless your heart. But first of all, it did pass the House, number one. Number two, the environmentalists pretty much all embrace it at this point. And I think that we can do it because it gives us flexibility as we reduce the carbon out of the air. And it's, you know, it's not that many firms that are going to have to pay this, that are going to have to do this. So we feel it's the most flexible way to reduce this pollution, and we think it's going to work. It worked for acid rain, the same type of plan, and we think it will work for this.
So the other big issue on Capitol Hill is Afghanistan. You said before that you hadn't made up your mind about the troop increase in Afghanistan. Have you changed?
I didn't say that. I said I wanted, before I spoke out on it, I wanted to see what the president said. But here's what I believe. We have enough troops there to fight the Taliban. If you count our 68,000 troops, the 30,000 plus troops of NATO, the 100,000 troops of the Afghans, and we're going to train another 94,000. That's well over 200,000 versus 20,000 Taliban. And thankfully, al-Qaeda is really on the ropes and they're way down. So I don't think it's a question of the number of troops. I think people get off on that. It's wrong. The question is the strategy. And that's what has to change, not the number of troops.
Barbara Boxer, California Democratic Senator in our studios here. Your book, Blind Trust. Did you ever read the book, Advise and Consent?
Oh, of course.
Okay, that paints a picture of a nasty, awful place called Washington. This is, while there's some nasty and awful people, this is a kind of heroic, roll up your sleeves kind of place. Do you believe that Washington is that way?
Well, you've got the good and the bad. And I try to show, some goodness there. And I try to show... The truth is that no place is all bad and no place is all good. You know that right here in the studio.
Yeah, it's bad
you've got
in the
good,
studio here.
You've got the good and the bad and the who knows. And what I try to show is the staff and how hard they work and how good they are.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat from California, thank you so much.
Thanks.
John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee.
That's all we have time for. Thanks for coming in. This is The Takeaway.
We have time to save thetakeaway.org.
That's true.